Russia keeps a former oil tycoon in jail.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson in for Steve Chiatakis. Now to the global perspective, when we take a look at what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. The oil tycoon, who used to be the richest man in Russia, will remain behind bars. A judge this morning found Mikhail Khodorkovsky guilty of stealing millions of tons of oil. Needless to say, this verdict isn't likely to improve the business climate in Russia. Reporter Peter Van Dyke joins us now from Moscow with more on this. Hi, Peter.
Hello, Jeremy.
So what exactly did the judge say?
Well, we won't get the full verdict for several days, but we know now that the judge has found Khodorkovsky guilty of embezzlement and money laundering. He said Khodorkovsky stole the money from his company, Yukos, for his own personal gain. The judge has not issued the sentence yet, but prosecutors want Khodorkovsky to stay behind bars until 2017.
And Peter, remind us who this guy is.
He's one of the so-called oligarchs who became billionaires after Russia's natural resources were privatized cheaply at the end of communism. When he was arrested in 2003, he was seen as a political rival to then-President Vladimir Putin. Supporters say it was his political activity that landed him in jail. The Kremlin denies that.
Peter, what does this decision say about the broader economic and business atmosphere there in Russia?
I asked Chris Weifer of Uralsib Investment Bank that very question. He says the guilty verdict was expected and will change very little.
It's not a surprise from an investor's point of view. It's what they had assumed. I think those investors that had not been engaged in Russia, but you know, we're looking for positive signs of change, then I guess maybe they'll be disappointed.
And for the most part, Western firms will continue to do business in Russia, as will Western governments.
All right, Peter Van Dyke in Moscow, thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Jeremy.
Now to the U.S. When Republicans take control of the House of Representatives next year, they'll change the budget rules. Democrats had a pay-as-you-go requirement that all new spending and all tax cuts had to be paid for. House Republicans plan to adopt what they call cut-as-you-go rules. Our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale explains.
Under cut-as-you-go, new spending still has to be paid for, but not tax cuts. Stanley Collender at Corvus Communications says Republicans are spelling out their priorities.
We want to cut spending to reduce the deficit, not increase taxes, and we want to be able to cut taxes as much as we want without worrying about the deficit.
Some Republicans argue tax cuts bring more economic activity, which generates more taxable income and more government revenue.
Clearly, this is nonsense.
Bruce Bartlett is a former economist at the Treasury Department.
We've seen very substantial increases in the deficit under Republican administrations.
The other goal of the cut-as-you-go rule, says Bartlett, is to trim the size of government.
The theory that Republicans have been operating under since the late 1970s is something called starve the beast.
The thinking goes the fewer taxes paid, the less government has to spend. But Bartlett says tax cuts just result in more government borrowing. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed right now in Europe and Asia. They are up in Tokyo, down in Paris. Here are some numbers for you. 365 salt spreaders and 1,700 snow plows. That's just for New York City as it tries to dig out from the big East Coast blizzard that's halting travel from the Carolinas to Maine. Wall Street was closed on Friday, not because of the storm, but because of the holiday. But on Thursday, the Dow gained 14 points to close at 11,573. That is the highest closed since August of 2008.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, with financial professionals nationwide who are trained to serve the unique financial needs of their clients at massmutual.com.
Union leaders in Wisconsin are worried that companies are taking advantage of the down economy and forcing blue-collar workers to accept lower wages permanently. Over the past year or so, a few major companies have threatened to relocate jobs outside of Wisconsin if employers don't agree to major concessions. Employees, rather, if they don't agree to major concessions. From WUWM in Milwaukee, Latoya Dennis has more.
Kohler, Wisconsin is a small village that's home to a big company that bears its name. Kohler makes kitchen and bathroom fixtures. This year, it became the third Wisconsin company to threaten to leave if union members didn't rework their contract. In the end, Kohler employees accepted a deal to freeze their wages and pay more for health care. Employees also agreed to a two-tier pay system in which new employees cannot join the union and will make 35% less than their counterparts.
Concessions are unwarranted, unreasonable, and overly severe.
Dave Boucher is an officer with the local union representing Kohler employees.
The question was asked earlier if our members will be able to survive with this contract. Yes, our members can, at least the majority of them, but most certainly working as a temporary member of the workforce at 65% of the wage with no benefits, those people are going to have a very hard time supporting a family.
Within the past year and a half, employees at both Mercury Marine and Harley-Davidson agreed to similar deals. Paul Kardish is Kohler's senior staff attorney for labor relations. He says it all boils down to reducing pay and benefits to keep the company afloat.
We're paying what we think are appropriate wages, and what we're trying to do again is just sort of reset the wage structure so that it can ensure viability of operations here in Sheboygan County.
Kardish says employee wages had simply become too high for the company in comparison with other jobs in the area. Still, for mayors in cities where people are taking wage cuts, these concessions are tough. Tom Barrett is the mayor of Milwaukee, where Harley-Davidson is based.
They're such well-respected companies. You want them to thrive, but you also want the people who work there to have jobs where they can support their families. And that's where things get tougher with the concessions that have been made.
Barrett says right now, employers have the upper hand. In Milwaukee, I'm LaToya Dennis for Marketplace.
And finally, the website The Daily Beast has come up with a list of the worst commercials of the year. Listen to this one.
Christmas break for free. Value menu. Get a bundle of hearts of woo-hoo. Or two items from the two-soup menu. Over a foot of flavor with a toasty torpedo for just $4.
Might be time to rethink the advertising strategy, Quiznos. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Nine out of 10 strawberries in this country come from California, and they are delicious. But how do you keep them that way?
You know, if you have some type of pest outbreak in your house, the first thing you do is you pull out some ant spray or something like that.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. New pesticides coming soon to a strawberry near you. That and the day's business news next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.